I've got confidence in the Lord. Amen. Do you have confidence in the Lord? I mean, so much confidence in the Lord. He's never failed. He's already there. And the scripture says he's a very present help in the time of trouble. So all of our confidence, all of our faith should be in the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand for the praise and worship leaders this morning. Even those of you on Facebook, in your home, clap your hands and give God some praise and some glory for the songs that have come forth to prepare our hearts for the Word of God today. I thank God for another beautiful Sunday morning that he has allowed us to see. And I'm going to ask you to come and journey with me to Psalms 42. Psalm 42, come and journey with me to Psalm 42. And I'm going to read one verse in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the word for today. Psalm 42. When you get there, locate verse 5. And let's read it and pray, and we'll get into the message for today. Psalm 42, 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in the Lord, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we're truly grateful, Heavenly Father, for all of your many blessings and your many benefits. Thank you for allowing us to be here in this house of worship today, and for your goodness to us for having brought us safely through another week. And dear God, you're worthy of all the praise and all the glory. I ask this morning that you would stand in my body, speak with my mouth, use my mind, O God, to communicate the message that you have for your people today. And I pray that the listeners in the sanctuary and those on Facebook and those that will look after a while will hear your voice, dear God, speaking to their situation and guiding them, Lord, to have victory even in our current circumstances. You are our God. You are our Father. And Lord, we trust you. And truly, our confidence is in you. Transform somebody, Lord, through your holy word today. Save somebody. And we'll rejoice with the angels in heaven. And we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to use for a thought today, battling depression, winning over depression. The deeper we get into this pandemic, more people are dealing with stress and depression. Even a few weeks ago, our former First Lady mentioned how this pandemic was affecting her personally. And it's something that we have to deal with, amen, and particularly because of the restrictions related to our ability to be social, you know, related to our ability to do the things that we used to do on a regular basis and enjoy. And believe me, I miss being able to get together and celebrate and go to movies and eat and out and do things that we did consistently for relaxation and spending time and becoming intimate with our friends and family. Amen. See, people are acting out of character, doing things that they would never have done before. And believe me, in talking about battling depression, I'm not trying to give people a crutch or an excuse for crime and violence or for any kind of abuse. I'm talking about the reality that we all are facing. And I certainly would like to believe, I hope that believers are not experiencing this stress and depression on the same level of those people who don't know Jesus Christ, because we know him and he is alive inside of us, amen, that we should not be as, you know, affected by the circumstances around us as people who are trying to live their lives without the presence and power of Jesus Christ in them. I want to look at what I believe is a pretty easy method or strategy for having victory even in the midst of a pandemic. I want us to realize that not even times like this can take us where God doesn't want us to go. Amen. And in that, I know it's some tough times for some people right now. But believe me, God doesn't want his children stealing, robbing, murdering, abusing our spouses and children. God doesn't want us violating the laws of the land. God wants us to have victory even when our savings account or checking accounts are at an all-time low. God wants us to have victory even when we don't have a job and we need to go out and find one. God wants us to operate in the context of Zeus that we're winning, amen, and that we are doing what is right in the eyes of God and for the glory of Almighty God. So much hinges on our attitudes. And somebody said, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they said that our attitude can determine our altitude. And certainly the attitude that we have will affect our countenance and how we are viewed by people who encounter us as we go from day to day. Therefore, it's paramount that as Christians especially, that we have victory over depression through our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a strategy, amen, to aid believers in battling the stresses and depressions that come upon us because of the time that we're living in right now. So let's dig into the text, and I will say that it's not rocket science. It's a pretty simple, it's a pretty straightforward, amen, strategy that I want to share with you today. And the first thing is, we have to, if we're going to win, we have to believe the word of God. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. We have to be careful, particularly in days or times like these, especially with an election that is coming up that is very, very controversial. And because of all the conspiracy theorists, you know, because they're coming out of the woodworks, out of their holes, out of the ground, and they're going crazy, amen, trying to make us to believe lies concerning
the parties that are competing for the presidency of the United States of America. It's kind of like that QAnon group. Those supporters, you know, they are the false theories concerning the Democrats, amen, and celebrities saying that they are running, amen, a global pedophilia, good Lord, ring, that they're doing that. And, you know, and once again, you know, the president, when it's not what he wants to say, he don't know anything about it, and he refuses to call it what it is, amen. And conspiracy theorists, amen, is what they are. And because he wants to try to use it or spin it some kind of way to work to his advantage, he won't say that it's not true. Sometimes we as Christians are too quick to believe that which is bad rather than that which is good. Sometimes we look for, we listen to, and we concentrate on all the bad things that are happening. When we should ignore, I'm not saying we should ignore world events. We don't want to play the ostrich and bury our heads in the sand. But we should turn our eyes and focus more. Dwell on the positives, things that are happening in this world, particularly those things that are happening within our lives, within our homes, and to our families. Amen. We ought to look for those things that are just. We ought to look for those things that are pure and lovely, things that are good and virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. And then when we do that, instead of stress taking up residence in our lives, we will experience the peace of Almighty God. And that is what God's word tells us, that if we do these things, the peace of God will be with us. So the first thing we need to do as believers in battling depression is to believe God's word. And then secondly, we need to look for God's purpose. God has a purpose for everything that comes into our lives as his children. In 1 Peter 5:10, it tells us, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God, when God allows suffering to come into our lives or trouble to come into our lives, he has a divine purpose. Amen. And let me say this, when God does allow trouble or problems to come up on us, he is still the God of all grace. He has called us to his eternal glory, amen, in or by Christ Jesus. Remember what Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us. It tells us for everything there is a season, and there's a purpose, a divine purpose God has for everything under the sun. And God has purpose, amen, that when we come through the fire, that when we come through the storms that are in our lives, that we will be perfected, we'll be more mature, we will be established, we will be stronger in the faith, amen. We will be settled in our faith and our trust in God and his divine care. God has a purpose for everything he allows to come into our lives. And when trouble comes, it shouldn't be, why me, Lord? It should be, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this experience? How have you designed this experience, Lord, to make me stronger, to make me more mature, to make me more like Christ? God, show me your purpose that I might win over my circumstances. And then after we discover God's purpose, or while we're looking and having victory at that time, we need to use, we need to call on, we need to rely on the promises that God has given us in his word. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we may, that through the patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. We lose some battles because we neglect God's promises. And as a consequence of neglecting his promises, we forfeit the benefits that God has promised us in his word. When you look at the word of God, there are around 3,573 promises in the word of God. And I will say that they're not all directly to you and me, but the ones that are intended for us as disciples of Jesus Christ, that number would blow your mind. Amen. If we would look in to the word of God and when, amen, as 2 Corinthians, and see, this gives me hope right here, 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him who is Christ Jesus is yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So God's promises are intended to be for our benefit, but for his glory. And we must employ, we must access the promises of God. We must read them, recite them, remember them to have hope and to avoid depression, to have victory in our battle against depression. God's promises are yes. God's promises are amen for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So remember and use access. You can say, Lord, you promised in your prayers. And if it is validated in the word of God, you just reminding God, and I don't believe God minds us reminding him what he told us, what we believe concerning his word. Then the next thing we have to do, we have to be encouragers, amen, of other believers. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Sometimes we let our involvement in our personal pursuits cause us to neglect serving others who are part of the body of Christ. And people become discouraged. They become distressed. They get the blues because they don't get the help they should receive from other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And when we look at the text, it says that our Father is the God of mercies. Lord, have mercy. And he gives us new mercies every day. Every day your eyes open, God has a new supply of mercies for us for that day. Amen. And he is the God, not of some comfort, but of all comfort. And he comforts us in our tribulations. Why? And it's not rocket science. First of all, God comforts us so we can be better regardless of what we're going through or what we're dealing with. And then secondly, he comforts us so that we can provide comfort to those who are distressed and in tribulation themselves. It is God's desire that he gives us comfort in order to equip us to minister to serve, to aid those who are in trouble. And we have to remember that it is our responsibility to be encouragers. It is our responsibility to reach out to our brothers and our sisters in Christ Jesus to aid them in their time of distress, in their time of need. We can't just sit back because we're doing all right and ignore the circumstances and conditions of people we love. Amen. Love is an action. It's something that we do. It's not just something we talk about. So if you are a child of God and your brother or your sister is in distress or in need, we should step up and answer the call of God to be an encourager, to be a helper in that brother or sister's life. So if you're going to win, see, sometimes when you're helping somebody deal with their circumstances, it causes you to forget all about yours. And then you're energized because God has used you to be a blessing to somebody else. Let me hit this last point, and we're going to go ahead and close the message out. We need to sing praises to God. In Psalm 66, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name and make his praise glorious." Amen. Make his praise glorious. Most Christians fall short in the arena of giving God praise. We just don't give him enough praise. Praising God brings hope and help. It lifts us above our circumstances. We are instructed by the verse to make a joyful shout. A joyful shout doesn't have to be melodious or have perfect harmony, but it has to have a ring, amen, of being joyful and being glad and being blessed because of the goodness of Almighty God. And then we are to, and while we're doing it, we are to sing out the praises, sing honor to the name of God. See, there is no name that is above the name of Jesus. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And we ought to sing honor to the name of Jesus. And we ought to make his praises glorious. Amen. There ought to be something in our praise that gives glory to Almighty God. See, there's something powerful about songs of praise. There's something uplifting about songs of praise. See, and I love to sing praise songs. When you think about those songs like, "Lord, I lift your name on high." Oh, that starts to get me excited. And then the old song like, "I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand." It'll make a difference if you're fighting depression. Amen. And then there's an old song that Deacon Harris and I used to sing, "God, Jesus is with me." And don't you understand that if Jesus is with you, oh yeah, you're going to have the victory. And then I like that old song that says, "Stand by me, Lord." Yeah. And I want Jesus to stand by me regardless of my circumstances, regardless of my situation. And I want to have, as the hymn has said, just a closer walk with you. And I know this song surely will resonate with most of us, and that is, "I know the Lord will make a way. Somehow he will make a way." Well, I just want to tell you as I get ready to head for a close, 2,000 years ago, Jesus made a way. Amen. He came down through 42 generations, was born in an ox stall, raised in a carpenter's house, lived a perfect life, healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, cured leprosy, fed the multitudes. He made a way. Then late one Friday, oh, his primary purpose, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he came into the world to save sinners. And am I glad today, because I was a sinner on my way to hell, but Jesus made a way, died and rose from the dead, went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty. I remember when I was just a young boy, one Sunday after morning worship, Mother Rosa Gillespie, while we were waiting on dinner, began to talk to me about my need for salvation. Talk to me about the love of God and my need to give my life to Him. And I heard her that night when we went back to church and they opened the doors. I walked down the aisle. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm just trying to live for the Lord because Jesus made a way for me. And I'm glad today because He walks with me. He talks with me. Yeah, and He gives me that divine assurance that I am His child. Yet, when things get tough, when the devil tries to make me doubt my salvation, the voice of God whispers to me, I loved you. I died for you. I saved you. Remember this, that even in our most difficult time, God is in the midst of our distresses. God is in the midst of our storms. He's in the midst of our problems and conditions when things are not going right. Understand that He's never left you, and He's right there beside you. You just need to access His divine power by faith, believing His word, trusting His promises, praising Him, encouraging others. You will have help over distress. You'll have help over the problems that you and I deal with in our lives as we go from day to day. Oh, I know, you know, things are going good now. Ain't no problem. Ain't nobody sick. Ain't nobody without a job. Still got money in the bank, food on the table. Things are safe and quiet around the house. But don't think that being a child of God assures that you will not have problems in this life. Amen. So know that maybe it's not you now. You can share it with somebody who is in a storm. How they can win. How they can have victory over distress. Christ died. If you